Okay, shalom. We're in Piska Samech, and we finally get to the answer of what Eliyahu HaNavi is answering this woman who is going around. Her husband, a scholar, died at a young age, and she's going around taking his tefillin, his phylacteries, from Beit Midrash to Beit Knesset to all the shuls and yeshivot, trying to understand the way of God, why some people die at a young age. We saw different aspects of the story. But finally today, we get to the punchline, where Eliyahu HaNavi says as follows. The story begins. One time, Eliyahu says, I appeared to her, and she told me the whole story. Amartila, and apparently Eliyahu knew exactly what questions to ask. Biti, biyamai, bimeni dotayich, mahu etzlech. During the time that you had your monthly period, what was the relationship between you? How did your husband relate to you? And notice also that Eliyahu HaNavi calls her my daughter. Whereas the atmosphere here is very, it's warm. It's not attacking. It's not threatening. Amrale chas v'shalom, afilu be'etzba ktana lo nagabi. And chas v'shalom, my husband would never even touch my little finger, or even touch me with his little finger during the time when he's not allowed to have physical contact. Asked Eliyahu HaNavi, bimei libunayich ma'u etzlech. What about during the 7 clean days? We all know that halachically, a woman usually sees her monthly period for 5 or 6 days, and then afterwards she has to be totally clean for 7 clean days. So we asked her, okay, you answered me that you didn't have any kind of physical contact during the days of Re'iyah, but what about the clean days? Amarti la, Baruch, we have to go back up to the Gemara. What did she answer him? Bimeli bunayich ma'u etzlech. Achalimi, he ate with me. Shataimi, he drank with me. V'yashanimi bekiruv basar, we slept in the same bed, in close proximity. V'lo alta da'ato al davar acher, but we did not have relations. And here is the mistake, right? Where according to the halakha, you're not allowed to be sleeping in the same bed, you're not allowed to have even close physical proximity. And it's not enough not to have relations. Ve'amarti la, and Eliyahu HaNavi, Elijah the prophet says, Baruch HaMakom Shaharago. And this is a pretty harsh answer. Blessed is God that he killed your husband. Shelo nasa panim la Torah. That he was not bribed, he wasn't blinded by all of the Torah that your husband had learned. That if somebody deserves to be taken, God does it. Sharia Torah Amra, as the Torah tells us in Leviticus 18, Velisha benidat tumata lo tikrav. And a woman, during the time of her nida, during her tum'ah, I should really stress, not only during her nida, but as long as she hasn't been to the mikveh, to the ritual bath, she is still in the status of tumah. Even it could be a year or 2 years or 3 years from now. Right? A woman who is a widow, say her husband dies, and she continues, she's in her 30s, she continues seeing her period, but she doesn't go to the mikveh anymore. There's no reason for her to go to the mikveh anymore. She is tamei. And even if she continued going to the mikveh, but after her last period she didn't go to the mikveh, she is going to be in a status of tumah for the rest of her life, because that's where you're at until you go to the mikveh. So the Torah tells us that when a woman is in her status of tumah, of not being
spiritually pure.
That's what I Davka wanted to stay away from the common translation. So you can't even come close to her. Let's see Rav Kook. Yeah.
But my understanding was, aside from physical relations, everything else is the Rabbanan. And so why are we bringing a pasuk from the Torah here saying that he was wrong to come physically close to her?
Kiruv basar is also d'oraita. Lo tikruvu legalot erva. We pask in even not touching. Even coming close without touching
is
a sur d'oraita, according to the Rambam, and that's how the Shulchan Aruch paskins
la halacha. Without touching, how close? What's the shiur?
Kiruv basar. That it's obviously if you touch, that's considered. But if it's coming close, b'derech chiba, you know, in a way that you get some kind of sexual pleasure from being close, then that's also isur d'oraita.
Even 17 days, not just in the year.
Right, as long as she doesn't go to the mikvah. As long as she hasn't gone to the mikvah.
Right.
Okay. Rav Kook explains as follows. B'makom she'advarim ha-toriyim, or ha-toraniyim, v'advarim ha-tivyim mizdamnim lepundak echad b'orchot ha-musar, sham tzarich shmira yetera, שלא יטעה אדם ולא יטעה את זולתו לחשוב שענייני התורה משתקפים בהשקפה אחת ובערך אחד עם העניינים הטבעיים הפרטיים. It's both. לא יטעה and afterwards לא יטעה. So, Rav Kook, who deals a lot with the issue of Ta'amei HaMitzvot, with the understanding, the philosophy, or the mystical, or the deeper meaning of the mitzvot, of the commandments. It's very interesting that here he deals with the problem of making the mitzvot logical or natural. So he says, when the Torah and natural ideas come together, come to the same junction, that we need to make a special effort to be careful shelo yit'eh adam velo yateh et zulato, that a person shouldn't make a mistake. And how much more so when we're talking about a scholar or someone who is teaching others. You remember, Rav Kook dedicates a lot of his writings to this idea. All of the Sefer Afikim Banegev. Anybody who hasn't learned Afikim Banegev really hasn't seen Rav Kook in his greatest creativity. It's the most modern book of a great rabbi of Ta'amei HaMitzvot, of trying to understand the mitzvot in the modern 20th century framework. The way of thinking of the 20th century man. Nobody else in the 20th century really dared to suggest many new explanations or understandings of the mitzvot. As far as I know, Rav Kook is the only one who really dealt a lot with the issue. And that's why it's particularly interesting here that he talks about the problem when dealing with nature and logic together with Torah, that you have to be careful not to relate to them on the same level. Now, his teacher, the Netziv, in a famous piska on the Aseret HaDibrot, in Shmot Kaf Yudbet, as we mentioned before, Rav Kook was a Talmid Mufak of the Netziv, the Rosh Hashiva of Elazim.
I thought you said he wasn't there for very long.
Yes, but the Netziv considered him one of the top students. As a matter of fact, it was considered a very big honor to be Rav Purim. And Velazhin was a yeshiva of 400 boys. Rav Purim was an honor that was always given to one of the top boys. Anybody's interested, you can see Professor Shaul Stampfer. His doctorate came out later as a book about Velazhin. And that was like a status. Anybody who could say he was Rav Purim in Velazhin, and Rav Kook, even though he was only there for a year and a half, was Rav Purim that Purim, which is a very significant thing, just to show up and then all of a sudden rise directly to the top. The Netziv also said about Rav Kook that it would have been worth to found the Velazhin Yeshiva, even if it were only to produce one Rav Kook. There was Rav Kook, even though Velazhin was a yeshiva of all-stars, he was clearly an all-star among all-stars.
There's certain things within his way of learning which reflect the Netziv.
Yeah. Very often.
The openness to all of Klal Yisrael, I think relying a lot on early sources and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Also, his hitnagdut to pilpul, his love for Tanakh, his love for the Hebrew language, all that is straight from the Netziv.
Pilpul is also Maharal, which is a big influence.
Yeah. there was another point that I wanted to mention. The Netziv was not strongly against, and to a certain extent what that meant was that he was in favor of, he understood the importance of secular studies. And when boys in the Velazhen Yeshiva would be learning other languages, he didn't stop them. He didn't stop them from reading newspapers and something which was out of the ordinary in the other yeshivot. The Netziv himself read a newspaper every day, as his nephew, the Torah Tmima, in a Sefer Makor Baruch, brings down. At a later date, when the Russians and the Maskilim went into higher gear, that's when you'll hear that the Velazhen Yeshiva didn't let people get newspapers. That was only at a later state when the Haskalah was getting out of hand.
I sense that the English version of the the Makor Baruch because of that.
Art Scroll.
Right. It was my uncle then at Siv.
So. Yeah. Yeah, if I remember correctly, they don't.
To Lakewood Yeshiva when, and no one was reading it. This is the story, and then they sent out a recall when they realized it was something. Like, no one sent it back.
Yeah,
so that was the
I didn't hear. I also understand that in the whole book it doesn't mention even once the fact that the Netziv was an active member in Chovavei Tzion, that he was a Zionist. Okay, so the Amik Davar on the Pasuk, Kabiret Avicha Vetimecha Laman Yarichun Yamecha Al Adama Asher Hashem Elokecha Noten Lach. Honor your father and your mother, so that I will give you long years on the land of Israel that God has given you. And the Netziv in his commentary asks, all right, Kibud Avim, honoring your parents, is something that is not connected with the land of Israel. Right, suddenly there are mitzvot takliot ba'aretz, mitzvot which are only done in the land of Israel. Trumot, ma'asrot, there are 58 agricultural mitzvot. There are 315 mitzvot which can only be done technically in the land of Israel, which is most of the mitzvot. But what then it's
nachala?
What
nachala?
But the Netziv here points out that even mitzvot like kibud av ve'im, which you might think has no connection with the land of Israel, and that it's a mishpat, not a chok, that it's something which is logical and not just a godly decree, comes the addition to tell us that there's a connection between honoring your parents and the land of Israel, which means that we're not just talking about something nice, something moral, but something which is also ben adam lemakom. And this is something that that we've spoken about before, that Rav Kook does not differentiate so much between chukim and mishpatim, simply because the more Kabbalah and Tamei HaMitzvot and philosophy that you learn, the more what you realize that what you used to think was a chok, turns out it's a mishpat. We used to think it was illogical and we just do it because God says so. Once you understand it, you'll say, hey, I understand that, and that, and that, and that. And the more you learn, the more you... On the other hand, there are certain things which we thought at one point to be mishpatim, things that we understood. I remember as a kid, they told us that circumcision is healthy. And then it's just a matter of time before doctors will change their mind and say, no, all elective surgery is unhealthy. Right? And that's why we do the mitzvot, whether they're chukim, whether they're mishpatim, because the categories are not clear at all. What is logical and what isn't. And
it's it doesn't need to know more Nister in this generation, because people won't stand for just for listen. This is because I told you so.
Nachan. Umikol sheken shadavar kashem maod im yaale al levavu. Shadvarim hativiim Hem omdim limala be'erkam ma'inyanim hatoraniyim. How much more so when talking about a person, and that's the direction that Rav Kook is going to explain the story, that this young rabbi, he saw the knei midah, the measuring stick, how to measure if a mitzvah, he was going to observe a mitzvah or not, based on his logic. In other words, that the Torah was not the measuring stick, that the logic came to explain the Torah, but he was using, and that's what most people really do, even if subconsciously, they use their logic and natural inclination as the measuring stick, and they see how much the Torah fits in. And that's exactly the opposite of what we should be doing. Now again, I want to stress, I'm not going to go through it, I just wanted to show, for those who want to see how Rav Kook's letters look, this is a unpublished letter of Rav Kook, which I found in his archives, which... I'm going to publish it soon, Be'ezrat Hashem, where he deals exactly with this issue. Because on the one hand, he writes a lot about Tamei HaMitzvot. On the other hand, he says explicitly, the halacha is not like Rabbi Shimon, in Dorshim Taima Dekra. It's Gemara Masechet Shabbat, and in many places, that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the father of the Kabbalah, who, for obvious reasons, says that you can deduce halachot from the logical meaning, or the logic behind the mitzvot. And Rav Kook says, the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, and just about everyone, holds, like Rabbanan, like the rabbis, against Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, that you cannot deduce halachot from the reasoning that you understand in the mitzvot. Right? The classic example, did we discuss this last time?
Which?
No, I don't remember. About the machloket Rabbi Shimon and Rabbanan. The most famous example is regarding almana, where the Torah says you're not allowed to take a mashkon, a, how do you say?
Deposit?
Yeah.
Security.
A security from a widow. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, well, that's because most widows are poor. They don't have Alzheimer's to support them. But if it's a wealthy widow, then you're allowed to. And Rabbanan says, how do you know that that's what the Torah means? Right? Not every widow is wealthy. Not every widow is poor. The Torah just says widow, which means whether she's wealthy, whether she's poor, you're not allowed to take a collateral. Maybe, in other words, if we talk about reasoning, you could explain, you could see the logic that even a widow who's very wealthy, being that she doesn't have a husband to stand up for her or to stick up for her, or that...
She's vulnerable.
And maybe that's the reason. We can't start getting into, and again, even though Rav Kook is very much does this, talk about, yes, it's good to understand, like Yoshua said, it's necessary in our generation to try and understand the mitzvot. Nevertheless, there is a clear limit to that, as we'll see in this story. Machshava kazot. Right? If a person starts using his logic and reasoning as the measuring stick and puts that above the Torah, which, as we know, a lot of time we say the Torah, we can't use our logic. And many people, especially Western people, would understand that to say, well, the Torah is illogical, that it's beneath our logic. And the truth is the opposite, that the Torah is often above our logic. It's our logic plus more. Machshava kazot tavi liktzotz benetiyot Torat Hashem atmima. It's a very, very severe problem. He says that this approach will get a person to leave the Torah, rebel against the God. Chalila. God forbid. And that it might bring people, especially students, to think that the basis of the Torah is to help us understand our nature. Not just logic, but nature. And here Again, Rav Kook is sort of alluding to the problem that we've spoken about in the past, that Rav Shimon Shem Raphael Hirsch has an entire sefer called the Mitzvot as symbols, and Rav Kook has several chapters in Orot HaKodesh where, without mentioning Rav Hirsch by name, says in those words, Oy vavoy, if you say the mitzvot are symbols. The mitzvot are not symbols. The tefillin that you put on your head, yes, the head represents something, and the arm represents something, but
tefillin are tefillin.
It's something godly, right? It's not a symbol. It's something real. Ubeze yavo pritzim v'yechalalu kodesh v'itpa'aru listapek v'adrachat tivit levada. So what's the next step? People are going to say, well, it's enough for me, the logical, or the reasoning, or I'll only observe those mitzvot that I could understand. That's a line that I've heard from many people. And they, when if a person is referring on his logic, which is subject to his yetzer hara, where cognitive dissonance, right? People understand and don't understand things which are comfortable or don't, for them, Rav Kook says, "Ein ledevar sof." That's a very serious problem. Harchaka min hanida b'mei tokef niduta, hu davar matim l'chukei hateva. He says, this example which the Gemara gives, that it's natural, it's logical, to stay away from a woman during the days of her period. Whether it be because it's disgusting to have relations at the time, whether it be because the woman doesn't have any cheshek, any desire at that time, but every proper person knows that it's wrong. Umnam, hagbalah toranit bimei libuna, himityacheset kvar el darkei kedusha, hana'alim harbe mashkafat teva pshuta hahigenit, ve'afilu hamusarit shela. The Torah, when it says that a woman is tamei, it's not she's unclean, as that's like the worst translation, which I've seen in Chumashim. Have you seen that?
Mm.
It's translated the
sure.
Unclean. If it's unclean, that's only 5 days. The 7 days where she is clean, she's still tamei. So how can you translate that as unclean? It's just stupid. It's a stupid translation. Okay. So what is, Rav Kook says, we're talking about tum'ah, tahara. These are spiritual levels. And we're not talking about that it's disgusting or that she doesn't have desire. We're talking about a religious, it's logic and more. And that was this young man's problem. That when she was seeing blood, okay, that he'll observe. But not when it's talking about something which is a more spiritual and not a natural reasoning.
Even though we said, I mean, the Gemara said, his wife said, he they didn't have relations during the 7 days. And I was, how could they come? He wasn't justifying, okay, that's not natural, therefore I can just do what I like. He was mm-hmm. he was observing a level of, mm-hmm. of separation.
Nachon. But not enough.
Not right. But he wasn't heeding the rabbi's instructions. Right.
And that's the point. That's the point. Who are you to decide, the Gemara is saying to this rabbi, who are you to decide that this is enough and not this enough? That's what the mitzvot are for.
It's like someone who pointed out that the bracha shelo asani goy wasn't said merely about a drunken Ukrainian peasant. It was also said about a professor in the University of Berlin.
Mm-hmm. אותו תלמיד בתיתו פדות והפרש בין ימי נידותה לימי ליבונה. This student, who differentiated between those mitzvot which he did and those which he didn't do, הראה לדעת שהגבלה טבעית עומדת אצלו נעלה מהגבלה התורנית. He was showing that this idea of what, the time when it's disgusting or the time where it's illogical to have relations, that's really what was important for him, and he puts it on a higher level than the demands of the Torah. V'chi'ilu hayta drachah tivit ikara shel Torah. By the way, I should mention, I saw recently there's an unpublished letter from Rav Kook where he writes about an open letter to the women in Tel Aviv Yafo, who apparently, in his time, we're talking about 90 years ago, many women were not going to the mikveh. And Rav Kook gave them enough credit, probably correctly so, that they didn't have relations during those days, and they were going to the bath. They did take baths, and they were careful about cleanliness. But they were saying, well, it's enough to go to a clean, hygienic bath, and you don't have to go to the ritual halachic mikvah. And that's, again, what Rav Kook is alluding to here. It's not the same thing. Hygiene and halacha are not exactly the same thing. Sometimes they overlap, and sometimes not. But it's not what's hygienic that decides what we do. V'chi'ilu hayta drachah tivit ikara shel Torah, v'atorah elokit amromemet et ha'adam v'atzat Hashem, lo rak kedusha meirat machshakei olam bo'or Elohi, ayidei kedushatan shel Yisrael. Here Rav Kook adds on another interesting point, the idea of the holiness of Israel. In a Sefer Orot, in page 155, Rav Kook writes that if the mitzvot were just symbolic, right, natural, reasonable, logical, so why don't the goyim have to do them? Why can goyim eat pig and we not? The whole idea is the Torah is concerned with goyim, is concerned with non-Jews as well. Nevertheless, the whole idea of the Torah is something for the Jewish neshama. It's not something that you can logically define how a Jewish soul is different from a non-Jewish soul. But we're talking about that level of understanding. We're not talking about hygiene or logic. Hayta chalila tfeila ledvarim ativim in this person's eyes. V'nei av she'oto talmid be'atzmo al pi darko ze haya zahir b'mitzvot v'holech tam. Aval kol ze haya efshar litkabel rak b'nafsho she'ayta tehora v'note la tzedek v'rigshei kodesh ela hayu matim ota ledarkei Torah. ולא היה חיסרון של הדעה הזאת שנשחתה כל כך ניכר בחיים. The Gemara is relating to this woman's husband as a scholar, as somebody who was not a bad person. And this small misunderstanding of placing the rational above the Torani, in him, apparently it wasn't such a big problem. Aval, and here Rav Kook is relating to something that we saw beforehand, hakrovim el hashpa'ato, if he were to teach students, where did Rav Kook say this, where it says that he died in half his days, which Rav Kook explains that God didn't want him to get to the second half where he would be a teacher, because there are certain problems which in a teacher, in a rabbi, they're batel b'shishim, his strong points overcome his weak points, and you don't even notice it that much. But in his students, it's amplified much, much more.
Nida also, because it's a private thing, there are all kinds of areas of halakha that are self-correcting because we watch what other people do. You do something wrong on Shabbat, and you see that other people do it differently, you realize I've been doing something wrong. Mm-hmm. But in the area of Nida, because it's so totally private, that's why there were the errors creep in.
Oh, that's interesting. אבל הקרובים על השפעתו באותו בעל דעת כזאת שאם גודלו בתורה וירא הייתה תורה בעיניו כתפילה אל הדעת הטבעית. So Jesus Rav calls it the religion of nature. Right? There's nothing wrong with nature. Nature is good. As a matter of fact, it's godly. The same God who created the Torah is the God who created nature. Nevertheless, if you make it into a religion that nature has the final word, that's when you're wrong. Haya alul arbot machshila. That obviously is going to become a very serious problem in his students. Alken. לא היה ראוי לו לחיות המחצה השנייה של הימים שבהם עלולה ביותר להתפשט השפעתו על זולתו. My educated guess is that Rav Kook wrote this piska before the previous piska, because here he puts in the main idea that he wrote there regarding Chetzi Yamav, but there, in the end, he decided to elaborate a little more. Nevertheless, he kept it in here. Al Kin, and here Rav Kook gets to the second point regarding Eliyahu. Eliyahu Zachur Latov. That's important to remember, the Zal that appears after many names. People think it's Zichrono Livracha. The original is found in Chazal only regarding Eliyahu. And it's Eliyahu Zachur Latov. Shehu hu amuchan lichaber tamid or klala shel Torat Hashem in kol ha-seifim v'pratim hayoter rechokim. Here Rav Kook has a beautiful explanation. He's saying, remember who we're talking about. Eliyahu Anavi, the idea of Gilui Eliyahu, right? That many rabbis.
Not Zichrono Livracha, because Zichrono Livracha is someone who's dead, and Eliyahu was assumed into heaven.
Nachon.
That's the difference.
Okay, the Eliyahu Anavi, the idea of Gilui Eliyahu, is something that comes to many great people, usually in a Kabbalistic framework, context.
The woman was a great woman.
You mentioned that last time.
Yes.
Rav Kook is saying here that the idea of the details and the relationship between the details and the ideas is something that Eliyahu HaNavi has an important say regarding it. Again, what's special about Eliyahu HaNavi? Shehu amuchan lichaber tamid or klala shel Torat Hashem im kol ha-seifim v'pratim ha-yoter rechokim. That's what Kabbalah is about. That's what Eliyahu usually comes to tell you. What is the connection between the general ideas, which are logical, and the nitty-gritty details of the do's and the don'ts and how much not, right? Vehu ha'atid liyod bekocho mifateach et astumot. Eliyahu, according to Jewish tradition, is the one who is going to reveal to us many of those illogical halachot. That's exactly what we're talking about. Halachot that we don't understand. Shel pirtei Torah. All of those small details that everyone asks. Why does God really care how I eat my watermelon on Shabbat or how I brush my teeth on Shabbat? That's exactly what the Kabbalah and what Eliyahu HaNavi are going to reveal. Kimurgal bechazal lav Eliyahu amrinu. A Gemara Masachet Eruvin, which says that isn't it Eliyahu that said it? Vehu me'atzmo hore la'avor al dvar Torah b'makom shaya tzarich lechazek klala shel Torah lotzi mi'amra v'akriya shel Hashem hu Elokim. It's the same Eliyahu HaNavi who on Mount Carmel, he gave the hora'at sha'a that even though it is forbidden to build a mizbeach, to build an altar outside of Yerushalayim, when it was necessary to bring the nation to the understanding to say God is the king, God is the king, and to bow down and accept when the fire came down from heaven and the very, very exciting and emotional experience that was there. Remember, it was Eliyahu who in that case put the klalim above the pratim. He knows when it's important to deal with the klal, to deal with nature, to deal with logic, to deal with bringing the mitzvot to the hearts and to the minds. Eliyahu HaNavi is not just a first grade Rebbe who tells the child, don't ask questions. That's mamash not Eliyahu HaNavi. The exact opposite. Hu haya muchan shal yadotit pasheta kara kama si'ifei si'ifim shal dikdukei Torah po'alim al kol orchot ha'chaim ha'musarim v'asichlim v'nifalim mehem. He is the one who, whenever we have a problem in the Gemara, the traditional explanation, I know there are other explanations, you don't have to give other explanations, of what is teku, tishbi yitaretz kushiyotu ba'ayot. Tishbi is Eliyahu. Okay? That Eliyahu is the one who's going to explain. He is Mr. Explainer. He is logical. He knows how to be makariv people. But if even Eliyahu takes this young rabbi to task, who haya ra'uy la'kir et ha'shorashim ha'mushchatim ha'alulim lavo al yada shel hanaga gru'a b'si'if kazeh midinei ha'torah ad heichan hem magi'im? He knows better than anyone, knowing all of the importance of all the details of the small details of the halachot, he knows how serious it is if we start disobeying them. Ve'lo na'e lomar al zeh, baruch ha'makom sharago, shelo nasa panim la'Torah. This strong sentence, Baruch Hashem that killed your husband, only Eliyahu could dare say such a sentence. And it's a beautiful explanation that such a strong statement, which really catches us all off guard, one Rav Kook points out, once you understand who Eliyahu HaNavi is and where he's coming from, and he understands this Rav, and he is great at explaining the Torah, and he understands the proper relationship between Klalim and Pratim, and Pratim and Klalim, and he knows when it's time to Mivatil the Pratim, when not to listen to the details of the Torah, and something which is very out of the ordinary, what he does there at Mount Carmel. He says, and he's the only one who could say, Baruch Hashem, that God was not bribed by your husband's Torah. Hapanim asichliim, hapanim shel chashivut, shel romemut erech, lo haita etzlo haTorah ki ima adracha tivit, v'chibed et agbaloteha yoter miagbaloteha shel haTorah. Eliyahu HaNavi was not blinded. He was not, how do you say, mishuchad?
Bribed.
He wasn't bought off by the logic of the Torah, even though Eliyahu appreciates logic. And he appreciates the importance of connecting the klalim and the pratim, the ideas and the details, but not when we're talking about putting the natural and the logic above the Torah.
He says, Baruch HaMakom Sheharago, which is two things. I mean, makom, that is the formula for when you comfort the avelim, the mourners.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also Baruch HaMakom, blessed is he who puts things in context, in the proper context.
Sharia Torah amra velisha benidat tumata, that when a woman is in her periods tum'ah, lo benidata levada ki im betziruf ha-tum'ah, as long as she hasn't gone to the mikvah, she hasn't become halachically tehora, ha-tum'ah hi musag ruchani, it's not unclean, it's a spiritual concept. Sharak ha-Torah tuchal lagbilo al piatzat elyon, only God in his infinite wisdom knows. How many days? Why 7 and not 6 and not 10 and not 20? Because when we're talking about nida, as long as she sees blood, everyone sees that she has blood. You don't need God for that. Again, that's natural. But what about afterwards? That we need a God to tell us how much to marchik, to stay away. Lo al pi orchot achush hativi hapashut. This cannot be done by one's natural instincts, his inclination. And here, I'll just allude to Rav Kook in Eder HaYakar, at the end of his Ma'amar Onig VaSimcha, he points out that man's nature is very, very godly. The problem is, as opposed to animals, man's nature very often becomes adulterated. Animals' nature is always right on.
Right? Same,
you don't have anorexic dogs, right?
When people corrupt this vivat, which is her Dora Mabul, for example, and there's I heard about a bird that's becoming extinct in San Francisco because it behaves unnaturally.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
V'hagbala hazot hi na'ala mikol hagbala tivit ve'en hativit ki im tfeilala ubatla eleha. Right? The natural is important, is godly, but only as subject, subservient to the Torah. By the way, it's important to stress, Rav Kook in many of us, and we've seen it together, stresses the importance of your nature and listening to your nature. What he's saying now is, in addition to that, there's also certain things that the nature doesn't always catch. And that's where we need God, our manufacturer, just like the Lahavdil, the manufacturer of a washing machine, knows the best way to get the best use out of a washing machine. So too, God knows, as our manufacturer, knows many things that the average person doesn't.
And if we reset the factory settings sometimes.
בתורה חורי כל כלי המתבטל לערך גופו ותוכו ופנימיותו של הכלי. כן ההגבלה הטבעית היא גם כן נכללת בתוך המון ההשלמות הגדולות הנכללות בתורה לטובת אנושיות והמציאות בכללה. אבל הפנים עצמם הם בתורה גנוזים. And here Rav Kook is alluding to a halacha that regarding clay cheres, pottery, in halacha, even if somebody tamei touches the outside, it's not mitamei the tochen inside. Why not? Why is pottery different than steel or metal or glass? The answer, what is Rav Kook saying? When it comes to tumah and tahara, you don't have an ice cube's chance in hell of understanding what's internal, what's external, what's going on inside, what's tameh, what's Torah. And that's exactly what God is for. That's what the Torah, the godly Torah, is to teach us. You can't guess this on your own. Who in the world would guess of putting a four parshiot in a black box on your head and on your left arm? Nobody would ever guess of such a thing. Al kena evdel shebein tameh latahor. Al pi orchot haTorah tzarich sheyikach et hamamad hayoter gadol b'chayim. וממילא תוכלל בהדרכה טבעית, right? The idea of tumah and tahara, this godly understanding of what's pure and what's impure, has to take the front seat. Not what's disgusting or what's not disgusting, and what's logical or illogical, and when you want to have relations or when you don't want to have relations. That is not what we're talking about. Excuse me, we're talking on a much higher level. Umemele tuchlau ba'adracha tivit, included in the Torah, is God's nature. Again, it's the same God who wrote the Torah as who created the nature. It's part of the Torah, but it's not above the Torah. And here Rav Kook, Kidarko Bakodesh, very often finishes off a paragraph with a beautiful original explanation of a pasuk. כי דרכיה דרכי נועם וכל נתיבותיה שלום. The ways of the Torah are pleasant. It's not an issue of disgusting. When it's disgusting, we'll stay away. That is true that many things which are disgusting are asur in the Torah. But כל נתיבותיה שלום, there are many other paths that make up the Torah in addition to the path of pleasantness. The Torah does lead a pleasant life, but that's darachei darachei noam. In addition to that, kol nativoteha, you have to take into account all of the paths of the Torah which make up shalom. Shalom, as Rav Kook explains many times, is shlemut, completion. It's also logic and also nature and also rational and also mystical and also philosophy and all and a godly and everything together. And that is something that we can't do ourselves. And that's why we need God. And that's why it's so dangerous when you have especially a learned person who decides that he's going to rely on his logic and be that much more lenient regarding what he may not understand.
Yeah.